honourable member, honourable Markey.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to remind myself of the processes. In terms of regulations, what are the mandatory steps that must be taken until they are proclaimed, meaning that they will be drafted by the Secretariat, may be taken to whoever. As they come to the Portfolio Committee, what is the Portfolio Committee supposed to do? Can they amend or whatever and so on? And again, to remind myself, I think I asked this question yesterday. Maybe it means I forget very fast. What powers does the National Secretariat have over the Provincial Secretariat, or rather, let me say, the provincial heads? Does the Secretariat have national representation in the provinces, meaning that maybe you will have somebody that it's directly from national that is in the province? Or do you only deal with the provincial secretariat, and because the provincial secretariat reports to the MEC, how does that work? Because as I see, the regulations are going to affect, or rather, they also work on the provincial secretariat. So I was just wondering, Ore, then what is the relationship there? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. Will you please indicate the current status of security screening of civilian secretariat and provincial secretariat? My second question, Regulation 10 stipulates that the annual report of the CSP must include a variety of aspects regarding its mandate. Will you please indicate the format that will be complied with? Thank you.
Maybe just one question. I think in the presentation it is referred to the consultative forum. Shouldn't that be the HOD forum? I don't know. And then there is provision in the IPED Act for a consultative forum, but there is no reference in your Act. But shouldn't that be in the regulations? Because we heard during the DVA presentations a day or two ago that even there is maybe going to be a move to move the serious DVA issues back to IPED. So the question is, in terms of, you know, ensuring that there's cooperation, in terms of the spirit of intergovernmental relations, why is there no provision for that in the regulations, especially since the Secretariat is the leading agency in that forum? That will be the first round. Thank you, Acting Secretary.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will deal with some of the questions, and my colleagues will come in on the ones that I've left out. I'll start with the last question that the Honourable Chair has asked. I think, incidentally, yesterday we had our consultative forum meeting with IPED, and we were talking about the amendments to the IPED Act. We were also looking into the we are revising the terms of reference that is assisting us. The legal team was saying we need to amend the Act to address some of the issues that we are saying the functions of that committee. And the resolution at that was that, no, actually this should go to the regulations. It's an area that I think we made an oversight, because initially the regulations were named Civilian Secretariat and Provincial Secretariat Regulations. So the whole issue of the consultative forum with IPED, I think that's why it fell by the wayside. We have recognized that matter, and it's something that we'll have to see how we incorporate in. On the issue of the status of vetting, I think we did a report. I don't know if we did a report at the portfolio committee. I can't remember because that was asked, and we can send you a written report in terms of national. All our senior managers have been security vetted, and the new ones that have just started, they are going through that process. I don't know the status at provincial level. We can actually get that information.
I think that's where the issue will come in the monitoring process. In the past, I know there's not currently a lot of inspections done by national, but I mean that's where usually the debate is between a station commander and a person from the secretariat. I'm not going to give you access to this and this files, where's your clearance? And that's the issue. Otherwise, you will have a constant battle, so that would be great. Thanks.
So we can get the information from the provinces, and we can send that to the portfolio committee. But at national level, we have all our senior managers vetted. The issue of the powers, as I indicated, over the provinces, Honourable Mackie raised that question. We are using the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act. It's a cooperative act. The secretary at national level has no authority over the province. The provincial secretariat, they report through the head of the department to the minister, and we are utilizing these forums that are mandatory in the act to actually make sure that we make sure that we implement the legislation. On the issue of the steps until proclamation, I'll leave that to the lawyers to explain that. Also, the issue of on the issue of the investigation of serious crimes, like what Honourable Mhlongo is indicating. The establishment of the DPCI judge actually was to deal with these issues, the priority crimes, and I'm sure murders, which also even have got all those political connotations, need to be dealt with there. And if there's interference, it has to be reported through the DPCI judge. So that that can be handled. That's why in the regulations we also indicate matters when the secretary assesses the complaint, we'll also say does it fall under our jurisdiction or should it be referred somewhere else to be addressed there. And that's, I think, one example of the cases that we would refer to the DPCI judge. And there has been cases that came which we referred there, and there are cases that came which we referred to IPED. The issue of the police ombuds in the Western Cape, this matter was discussed at our HOD meeting. There was a request from the Western Cape for a presentation to be made as part of the issue about looking into the uniform organizational structures in the country. So the HOD Western Cape requested that we place this matter on the agenda. It was discussed. we requested that they submit the report of the Ombuds so that the HODs can look into that, which has already been submitted. And the HODs are looking into the report, and then they will guide me in terms of whether we put that matter on the agenda for the presentation. Well, that is going to assist in terms of dealing with whether we want to replicate that, or we believe that it's not a necessary institution that should be there. It's on the agenda. And also at MINMEC, when they raised the issue of the uniform organizational structure, that issue was raised. So we will go back to MINMEC with a proposal that will also include issues of the ombudsperson in the Western Cape, as now established.
Sorry, Acting Secretary, Honourable Mshlongu just indicated a follow-up on the same issue. Thank you.
Chairperson, I've got a serious problem, Chairperson. You know, in fact, in South Africa, I'm failing to understand, Chairperson. Policing, if we treat policing as if maybe we have got federal policing system, like, for example, in U.S., I think we will have serious problems. I don't really see any reason, Chairperson, that we can have a monitoring national organ like a civilian secretariat, which will be depleted when it comes to provinces in terms of its powers, leaving people vulnerable to vultures in the provinces who at times don't want to actually then accept political responsibility. Now, this thing, Chairperson, I think, legally speaking, to me, this thing is actually then completely not in line with even the Constitution. And even in terms of the established policing or policing structure. Because how can you have a national monitoring body at a national level that doesn't have powers at provincial level, which will be at the mercy of the provinces? Right now we rest with provinces who have failed to establish or appoint provincial heads. Simply, and we don't know what could be the motive of this. Now, I think maybe the legal advisors will have to work on this in order to advise us correctly so that we can actually then, as an oversight committee, exercise our role efficiently and effectively. Otherwise, I think it will be a failure on our part, Chairperson. Because really, I think you know, as much as I know, Chairperson, in case again, the problem that we experience in Cleveland was solely because of this particular discord. When the minister was saying this as a political excuse, while people were dying, but eventually when national intervention led by General Cruz went into the province, the picture was then different. Now, I don't really think that we will be doing citizens of this country justice if we leave our people in the hands of these provinces with their dynamics so much dangerous at times.
But Acting Secretary, you can continue with the feedback. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The other questions, 20, I think it's Regulation 20 and 51, the my colleagues will assist in responding to that. The issue of the overlap between the MINMEC and Senior Management Forum, the HOD forum that we have, it actually is a support to the MINMEC, and the provincial secretariat senior management forum, it actually processes all the work and then it gets tabled at the HOD forum. Senior Management Forum, we held our first meeting. I think we reported when we were talking about the implementation of the Act. The first meeting was on the 26th of July, but the HOD Forum has been meeting for quite some time on a quarterly basis. We have, every 2 months, we meet with the Provincial Secretariat, which is the meeting that I I chair. The next meeting is going to be end of September. The issue of readiness of the Secretariat. In terms of our budgeting, we took all this into consideration. And I think there was a question that we, in terms of the expenditure on the information systems and so on, we are taking that into consideration. We are finalizing the filling of a position of the Information and Knowledge Management Director, and the position of the Deputy Director IT and the Director IT, which is going to assist us in making sure that we have the systems in place to accommodate this. So the stabilization and also filling of all those posts. Although we can't say we have all the capacity that we need, I'm told from my colleagues that at one point the National Treasury was saying, if you guys have to do all the work that you need to do in the legislation, you need to have at least 500 people in place. We are not there yet, but we will do with whatever the resources that we have, we will try to do that, and we will complement our work working with the provinces. But we are preparing our team to make sure that when these regulations are in place, it's implemented. I think I will end there and ask my colleagues to add.
Yeah, maybe just a follow-up from my side. First, Mr. Mabija.
Just before that, you know, sometimes the human brain becomes saturated. Therefore, I will withdraw my questions. I realize that it's a mix of consultative forum and senior management forum. I withdraw it. Thank you.
I just wanted to know, I think in a previous presentation, the role of the presidential hotline. So that function in terms of police complaints, I mean, the implication is the regulations that function will be yours. I just wanted to know, in terms of setting up now the system, is that discussions underway? And then also, although it's more operational, technical issue, but I've got the reasons why I'm asking it, because during this term, I've asked, you know, I directed complaints to IPERT, Secretariat, Police, and I've got my views. I won't say it here, but to how to handle complaints. Are you going to also use web-based complaints, call center? I just want to get a sense, because as one of the members said, a lot of complaints will come to the Secretariat. That is just reality. If what is foreseen in the regulations will be implemented.
Answer that. My understanding with our interaction with DPME is that the hotline, the presidential hotline, is not going to be phased out. They will still refer the cases to departments. So if the cases have been repaired to the relevant department, they give you time frame to sort it out, and then you have to report through that. We haven't discussed whether we'll need a hotline or not. I think the system, when we look into the systems, we will take that into consideration, because I know the hotline, it requires a lot of resources in terms of manpower, and we might not have the resources available to mend the hotline. But we take the point of Honorable Chair, and it's an area that we will consider when we deal with it. Thanks.
Thanks, Secretary, and thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'll go with the questions sequentially. Where it's been answered, I'll ignore that, other than where it's necessary to supplement the responses by the Secretary.
Chairperson, I think the first point, the chairperson's questions has been answered. Just safe to say that the Secretariat is not an implementing agency in terms of policing functions. Its functions are limited to oversight, and that will have a bearing on the capacity, but also the is the kind of relationship with the provinces in terms of capacity. So together with the Secretariat, which has its own responsibilities at the national level, there is a, what is called interface and reporting from the provinces insofar as that is concerned. Chairperson, whilst the question has been removed or withdrawn, I thought just for clarity purposes, for clarity, if you allow me, Chairperson, the provincial secretariats, in terms of the Act, are required to be established within 18 months of the implementation of the Act, which took place in the 1st of December 2011. However, there is a rider to that, because the establishment of the provincial secretariats in terms of the current construction of the Act is that it's subject to, let me just go back a bit, the establishment is in terms of Section 16 of the Act, but it's subject to Section 17, which has a bearing on the time frames. Section 17 says that it's in order to for the functioning of the provincial secretariat, the provincial secretariat must have its competencies in place before the minister with the MEC determines the functioning of the provincial secretariats. So whilst there has been some provincial secretariats that have been established, not all provinces, as was reported, have been established. And maybe because they haven't done the preliminary requirements in terms of having, if I can just read that section out, Chairperson, it says in order to support the provincial secretary must, for the purposes of subsection 1 in terms of establishment within 18 months, must establish competencies and capabilities in its operations to perform all the functions. So maybe there's a problem, and that is a matter for discussion at the HOD, Heads of Secretariats Forum, or the Provincial Departments Forum, to determine the readiness before it's established. So technically, whilst the Act requires, it must be established within 18 months, but if the competencies and the capabilities are not in place in the provinces, then that 18 months doesn't kick in. That's just for clarity, Chipper. In terms of the capacity to implement, that has been dealt with by the Secretary, but I think it's important insofar as the Ombudsman is concerned. Whether it can be replicated in other provinces, I won't go into that. But safe to say that the Section 206(5) of the Constitution entitles the provinces to establish commissions of inquiry and report to the minister on complaints and related matters. Safe to say that that matter was dealt with in the Constitutional Court matter of the Premier versus insofar as the Khayelitsha matter is concerned. What is significant in that judgment, Chairperson, in that Constitutional Court judgment against the minister, the Constitutional Court said that Section 208, in terms of which the Secretariat is established, must not be conflated with Section 206 of the Constitution, which deals with provinces. And I think that's an important consideration, but maybe I can highlight it because it relates to the question by, what's his name? Honourable Mbele and my apologies, I'm trying to get his name, Mflongo, because that's a fundamental serious question. And that is, in terms of Section 208, the Secretariat is established to function under the directions of the Minister in terms of national legislation. Section 208 doesn't specify the functions of the Civilian Secretariat. It says it must be dealt with in terms of national legislation. However, and this is why the Act was drafted in the way it has, Section 206(3) of the Constitution deals with provincial entitlements, and it's quite specific, if you can read that out, Chief. And that's a constitutional provision. It says each province is entitled, in terms of Section 206(3) of the Constitution, to monitor police conduct, to oversee the effectiveness and efficiency of the police service, including receiving reports of the on the police service, to promote good relations between the police and the community, to assess the effectiveness of visible policing, and liaise with the cabinet member responsible for policing in respect of crime. So those are constitutionalized entitlements, what the Act talks about, entitlements of the provinces. We cannot interfere with that. And this is the reason why the provincial secretariats were not established as a sub-body of the civilian secretariat. It's not to violate this provision. But insofar as the complaints is concerned relating to the Ombudsman, Section 2065, it says in order to perform the functions that we outlined in Section 2063 that I just read out, it says a province may investigate or appoint a commission of inquiry into any complaints of police inefficiency or a breakdown in relations between the police and the community. So that's a constitutional power given to the provinces to establish that commissions of inquiry, and that was dealt with in that constitutional court case relating to the Khayelitsha matter. But importantly, it says the province must make recommendations to the cabinet member, that is the Minister of Police, on policing. So once the commission of inquiry or the investigation of matters contemplated in this section is done, then there is a report to the minister. So, while I'm on that, you can just touch on the question raised. I hear your concerns, but we are bound by the Constitution, unless the Constitution is amended, because the Act and the regulations which flow from the Act must be consistent with the Act. So I hear your point, but we are bound by the Constitution insofar as the questions that you've raised. The provinces has its own responsibilities, and we can't interfere with that in the current scheme of the Constitution. Chairperson, the question related to, if I'm done with the... My apologies, Chair, just want to get my sequencing right. Yeah, the overlap between the MINMEC, and I think that has been covered adequately by the Secretary. Regulation 20, that was a question, evaluation of complaints and the reason, and whether police service is a service. Now, the reason for that, Honourable Mbele, through you, Chair, is that currently the mandate of the Secretariat, the Civilian Secretariat, is over the South African Police Services as currently enacted. We don't have a mandate over Metro Police or Municipal Police Service, and that's the reason for... So if there is a complaint that is referred to the Civilian Secretariat which relates to a problem relating to Municipal Police Service, we don't have that mandate. Our mandate is only relating to the Police Service as defined. So that's the reason for that... provision, the concern relating to whether a complaint can be submitted directly to the Secretariat, that can be done. Insofar as the provision in the regulations, if a complaint relates to discipline, as against an ordinary service delivery complaint, then the Secretariat has to take into account, in terms of that provision, whether there has been a complaint or whether SAPS is dealing with the complaint itself, because those are processes SAPS has to take into account or follow where there is a grievance procedure relating to. So we don't want to interfere with that. However, it doesn't negate the role of the Secretariat in terms of conducting its own investigations, but it must take into account and not interfere with the processes if it's done in a normal manner, because we've done those kind of matters in the past where we've overturned, I'm talking the earlier days of the Secretariat, decisions made by disciplinary officers in SEPs in terms of the evaluation of those where there was complicity or irregular proceedings, those recommendations have been overturned, or those findings have been overturned. Then the Clause 51, lacuna in the Act, that is correct. The Secretariat can only recommend disciplinary action. The Act doesn't provide for criminal sanctions against members where there is non-cooperation, etc. And that was dealt with when the Act was being considered by the Portfolio Committee in 2000-2001. So there's a reason I can't justify that, but that was a decision of Parliament at that stage, that not to provide for penal criminal sanctions. Safe to say that the Secretariat can't make recommendations on disciplinary matters where there's non-cooperation, because that would be seen to be an act of misconduct. Then I think I've dealt with Honourable Mfongo's question with regard to provinces. We accept that the policing is a national competency. It resides under the jurisdiction of the Minister of Police. However, insofar as development of policing policy is concerned, in terms of Section 206(1) of the Constitution, the Minister must take into account the needs and priorities of the provinces. So that is a constitutional process that the Minister has to follow in determining national policing policy, because Section 206(1) is quite clear. It says he must take into account the needs and priorities of the provinces. However, take into account what I referred to, Section 206, the entitlements of the provinces. The Minister overarching has that overall responsibility, and this is why MINMEC has been established, because those issues can be dealt under the chairmanship of the Minister, looking at the competencies and powers of the MECs. Then in terms of the appointment of provincial heads, the Act says that the provincial head, in terms of Section 18 of the Secretariat Act, is the MEC must, in consultation with the Minister, so there is in consultation, it's not after, but there is a relationship between the MEC in the appointment of the provincial head of the Secretariat, and subject to the laws of the public service, appoint the head of the provincial secretariat. So the MEC cannot on his own just appoint. He must consult and obtain the approval of the minister. Honourable Marcus Piston, what is the process? The Act is quite clear, Chairperson. The Act says that the regulations, before the minister promulgates in the Gazette, before it's operationalized, he must submit the regulations to Parliament for notification. But the prior process is there has been consultation in developing that, particularly with the provincial departments. So that process has happened. We've submitted the draft regulations to SAPS through General Haldanes for comments, but no comments have been received from SAPS. So we proceeded without being hamstrung and delaying the further process. But importantly, that before the minister promulgates, we will need, and there was a question as to what is meant by notification. But the interpretation is that the portfolio committee will have considered that and minuted the regulations and given its decisions, and before the minister proceeds to the next phase of promulgating the Gazette. What process does National Commissioner or the Secretariat have over provincial heads? Okay. As indicated, there is a degree of autonomy on the provincial secretariats because of the constitutional provisions. There is no representation from the civilian secretariat at national level on the provincial secretariats. But there is a relationship of collaboration and secondment if that becomes necessary. I think the other question on the MEC's role, I think I've covered that in terms of what is contained in the Constitution. Then Honourable Mula's question, indicate current security screening, that's been covered. Consult the forum. Chairperson, if I missed a question, then just...
No, that was
No, Chair, maybe I'll have to be educated a bit on this. When it comes to IPED Act, IPED is the same oversight organ of state. Now, what could be the wisdom for CSP not to follow that pattern of IPED in terms of its legislative act? It's not to suggest that IPED Act actually then doesn't take into consideration interests of the province. But I'll have a problem to suggest to say that provinces must just be left to go amok with the lives of the people. I will definitely disagree with that thing. Two, I want to find out, does CSP fund the provincial administration? If it is yes, how do you fund an entity which doesn't account to you? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that's why I keep on asking the same question. It means it's a thorny issue of the provincial secretariat. I understood when my question was being... No, it was said that in the appointment of the provincial heads, the MEC in consultation, but you later said that the MEC must get approval from the minister, and that is not what it says. It says in consultation. I don't understand that to mean approval. Consultation might mean whatever. I mean, I can write him an email and tell him, or no, I've appointed, or something of that nature. And I will agree with my colleague, Honorable Muthongo, where there's something amiss here. And I should think it might be proper from your side to come up with recommendations to change some of these things. I'm not sure whether if the act is to be changed, does it mean that something must be changed within the constitution itself? Or does the constitution say give you the leeway to change within the act itself? And because it's definitely not workable. I mean, if you are not you don't have a mandate over the municipal police, metro police, or whatever. Does it mean they've got their own secretariats? And that would be a lot of structures. Imagine that the reports differently to different whatever. Somebody would be reporting to the municipal authority, another one to the provincial legislature, another one to the national parliament, and I would suggest that you sit down and your policy and monitoring, whatever the unit, sit down and draft up something that would correct some of these anomalies, and then present to us through you, Chairperson, present to us or what method would be the best. Because as it is, I'm not very sure. I understand that we've got the right to call anybody to come and present here. It will mean that we will have to call from here, we'll have to call some provincial heads to come and present here. And I wouldn't understand, or do they also report to their legislatures? And that's why I'm saying I'm getting a bit confused when it comes to the whole of this thing, and I think it needs to be corrected. So if you can present us something that maybe we can look at through you, Chairperson, and see how this can be worked out. As I was saying, that consultation doesn't mean that you must get approval from the minister. You can simply write him a love letter, or yesterday I've appointed as a provincial head and I have consulted you, or something of that nature. And no, for now I will just stop there.
I'll just add a couple of issues as well, and then we can just take a quick tea break and come back to your responses. Maybe just some issues, for the secretary to look at, not necessarily brief responses, but the issues of, for instance, the matter of the lodging of the complaint. I mean, there's no indication in what form should it be. Now, again, there should be some format, to deal with that. Then the issue of the evaluation tool, development of the monitoring and evaluation tool was protracted and very expensive. Now, in terms of the regulation, it won't be used fully, but only for monitoring and evaluation. So that's a matter maybe we should look at. In terms of other issues, I just want to go through the list for parliamentary point of view. We should quality control, maybe there is some configuration that must be looked at before properly dealt with. I mean, also, of course, the regulations is 5 years late, and I mean, there's various reasons for that. But I think we must also look at some transgenders. And then the issue of definitions. You refer to the issue of the EPS is not part of it, but I mean, what can then be done to ensure that we keep the EPS accountable? What would be your suggestion, Mr. Salman? Those are the main issues on the one day.
Chair, it's just to give you notice that I'm going to have to excuse myself during the tea break, so you won't see me afterwards.
Okay, thank you very much for your attendance. Members, that's the questions at this stage. Let's take the tea break, a 5-minute break, and then we come back to finalize the matter. Thank you.
Hi,
what
Thank you.
Fine, thank you. Mr. Irene from PMG.
Yeah. the deal.
Right, members, 2 minutes. Right, thank you very much, honourable members, for coming back. Let us continue with the responses from the Acting Secretary and his staff. Thank you, Acting Secretary.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, I think the issues that have been raised regarding the disjuncture, our white paper on policing, some of those issues are dealt with. So when we come back to the portfolio committee in terms of the white paper on policing implementation plan, we will actually reflect on those. And I think the suggestion to say come back, let's do it in line with the white paper on policing. I just want to comment, because in the white paper, it talks about the single police service. And you have what, in the past, we had something called the single public service. It's the same problems that we have. With the constitution that we have, you cannot implement a single police service. The constitution will need to be amended. So we will be coming also with a paper to say what does it mean under the constraints that we have, and how can we effect that? And I think it's the issues that have been raised by honorable members to say it's a problem, because we want to have one or a uniform policing system, and the commands must be clear. So we will deal with that in terms of that implementation plan. We're establishing a task team which will also include SAPS and we will also get the municipal police. It's correct, Honourable Market, that the minister does not approve. It's a consultation. I'll tell you how the consultation happened. The province will say, we are doing the recruitment of a provincial secretariat. Firstly, they will send us a note which says, these are the people that we have shortlisted, and we are conducting this for your attention. If we don't have anything to say about this, we are happy with what has been provided, we'll say they go ahead, and when they finish, they will say, here is the person that we are appointing, this is the resume of the person, their qualification, and so on. And then the minister says, I am happy with that. But the final decision will be the MEC who says, I'm appointing. The Civilian Secretariat for Police Service does not fund provinces. Provinces, they are funded through their own provincial treasuries process. We just assist in terms of what are the priorities that must be taken into consideration. But the funding is not coming from the National Secretariat. We note the issue of making sure that we edit the document properly before it gets published. The lodging of complaints, I think the form, I think it's also a good advice that when we do the actual form that must be used to lodge complaint, when we formalize it, we'll have to go into the further details based on that sketch. I think those are the questions I want to respond to, but I think Mr. Soman will deal with the issues of why are we not using the IPID model, and the others that I have left out.
Acting Secretary, Mr. Soman, you're welcome.
Thanks, Chair. I think the question raised relating to why the Secretariat was not established in the same manner in which it applies to IPID. And that was also a serious consideration during the deliberations on the passing of the Act. And then, again, we go back to the Constitution, Chairperson. The provisions relating to the secretariats do not apply to the IPED. IPED is required to establish itself in terms of national legislation. It is not constrained by the Constitution, particularly whether we like it or not, but that's what we have to do, Section 206(3) of the Constitution. So we cannot establish provincial offices of the Secretariat. This is why the route that was followed to navigate around Section 206(3) of the Constitution is to have provincial secretariats established by the MEC, because that is what the Constitution says in terms of the functioning of the provincial executive responsibilities. So that is what we are constrained by. As I say, whether we like it or not, but we are bound. I'm not sure if there's a different interpretation. But that is what the... Just on the consultation, there is a difference between in consultation and after consultation. In terms of interpretation, there's a distinct interpretational problem. After consultation is that you're not bound by the decision. You can consult. I can consult with you, but I'm not bound by what you say. Whereas if it is in consultation, there must be a meeting of minds. So that is an interpretational issue, but we take the point in terms of the problem it creates. Similarly, in terms of the functioning of the provincial secretariat, once it is there's readiness on the part of the provinces, the Act is quite clear in terms of that, in terms of when the coming into operation of the provincial secretariat is concerned. They must be in consultation between the MEC and the minister. So there has to be a report from the MEC on the state of readiness of the provincial secretariat before the date of coming into operation of the provincial secretariat is declared. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Markey, follow up on the same issue.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just one more question. In terms of if for instance, I want the secretariat to come and workshop maybe some CPFs in my constituency area, then what happens? Do I have to go to the provincial secretariat, or do I come directly to the national secretariat? And what happens? When can I simply come to the secretariat and say I've got the CPFs in this area? This is the date. Can you come and workshop them? And definitely you must provide food and drinks for them. And what is the procedure when it comes to that? One other question, in terms of the reference groups, I see there are four categories here. Who established these reference groups? Is it advertised? Do you just pick and choose, or what happens? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is just a brief comment, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think maybe the research unit of our committee will have to help us moving forward on this matter. I am reminded, Chairperson, of a comment which was made by late Minister Chwete in the funeral of late Mr. Mkhize, the former president of NEHAU, who was a member of this house, was gunned down in KZN by police. When he said, I quote him correctly, as long as the leadership of this province, meaning KZN, does not want us to rapidly deal with policing at a national level, does not want us to deal rapidly with the problem of policing in KZN, the problems that you have as people of KZN shall just remain as they are. Now, really, I think in that funeral, I'm raising this because this federal nature of things, to me, doesn't do good in terms of ensuring a cohesiveness of what we want to achieve. You might find that even at the national level of command of police, police officers or national management want to get good outcomes. But because of these invisible hands, there is a serious drawback. I think there must be something done, really, to actually... Constitution to me is not just a casting stone. There must be a kind of attention to this particular thing. Otherwise, whatever a thing that we are doing, we will have multiple oversight organs that will be just useless at the end of the day. That is my just observation, Chairperson. Really, I'm very much concerned about what I'm getting out of this. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongu. I think maybe from a portfolio committee perspective, we must maybe also talk to our NCOP colleagues in terms of those provinces where there's currently still the issue of not establishing secretariats to push from our side as well. So I think that is maybe one of the issues coming from your input that we can also take forward. Let's go. I just want to get an indication, members, this is the last round, so everybody's covered. Thank you very much for your contribution. Let's go to the final responses from the Acting Secretary and his team. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I think the observation from Honorable Mhlongo, it's something that when we
come with the implementation plan on the white paper, we can actually reflect on that. It's an issue that we need to reflect on. Regarding the CPFs, the workshops, we have the responsibility to strengthen, and we work with provinces. I know of one time where the MEC in Limpopo invited us. She was having an induction of the CPFs there, and asked us to come and present in those workshops. So you can go to the province and then they can assist you, or you can come directly to us if you need a national perspective. It depends on the issues that need to be addressed. So regarding that, we are not prescriptive, but we have the responsibility to strengthen the CPFs in whichever way, and if we are called to do that, we do it. The establishment of the reference groups, it's established by the civilian secretariat, the secretary, in consultation with the minister. At this point, we haven't established a process which says you advertise and call for nominations. It's based on the institutions and the database that we have in terms of the people that we interact with, and then we will invite them to be part of the reference groups. That's how it's done, but we don't do the advertising. I don't know if there's another question that I've left out, Chair.
I think the Secretary has covered the role of the Secretary of the reference groups, but just to say that in terms of the CPFs, there is a constitutional framework. In terms of the current provisions relating to the CPFs, in terms of what is contained in the SAPS Act, is based on what is provided for in the interim constitution, because that's the genesis of the CPFs. However, as we go forward to align those provisions with the constitution, there will be a shift, because currently the responsibility of community police relations resides with the provincial commissioner in terms of the interim constitution. But that is now being phased out in terms of the 96 constitution. There is a transitional provision, but once the act is amended, that responsibility will reside with the provinces in terms of community police relations is concerned, under which CPFs are. But just to conclude on that, the Secretariat Act provides for, as one of its objectives, to provide guidance to community police fora from a national level. So that's just answering your question in terms of, you can provide guidance to the functioning of CPFs in the provinces from a national level. But in terms of responsibility, that will become the responsibility of the province in terms of what the constitution says. And just finally, if I may, Chairperson, I hear and I agree, I don't know if I should say that, but with Honorable Mplongo, but there's a distinction. We agree that policing is a national competency which resides under the Minister of Police. So that is not interfered with at all in terms of the national competency of the policing. But insofar as oversight, there's a distinction between policing and oversight. There is a responsibility both at the national level in terms of the current legal scheme as well as the provinces. But that does not negate the national policing competency issue. But I think there are problems within that area as well. Thanks, Chair.
Acting Secretary, anything finally from yourself?
Yes, I just want to so that when the members they conclude, we get a clear sense of where to go from here. The issues that have been raised, we have taken that into consideration, which means that we need to amend there and there. But we wouldn't like to have this void, because some cooperation that we need from provinces we don't get, because they say the regulations are not in place, so you cannot prescribe certain things. So that is actually impacting on our work, and we would like to move quite quickly. If by 1st of October we are able to publish, then we will be happy.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for that, Acting Secretary. I think we're on the same platform there. I think it's essential that these regulations should come into place. I think if those issues raised by members and the finer tuning can just be addressed and sorted out, I think the committee will be happy that we proceed with it as soon as possible. But I think the broader issues raised by Honourable Marke as well as Honourable Hlongu is really part of the white paper process as well. And I think those provinces that are currently not on board, we will have to also, from the portfolio committee, have to engage with that. I mean, that is also a reality. Because we can't have four or five provinces that have got secretariats that's in line with the legislation in terms of the oversight, but the others are lagging. That's also, I think, a problem from our perspective. So we want to thank the team for the presentation. I think we take note of all the developments. And of course, in the end, it's the implementation that's going to be the big issue. So we will also await the implementation plans as well going forward and look at that. So thank you very much for the presentation, and we'll await also the final product when it is published. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we've come to the end of this meeting and also the end of this term. Maybe just to indicate, we're still awaiting approval from the House Chairperson for next term, but if all goes well, we will be back on the 11th October at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, starting with a briefing from the AG, and then we'll have the stakeholders, SAFU, POPCRU, ISS, APCOF, and Nomfundo Inkwazi, and then we will have program 1 and 2 on that Tuesday afternoon, because it's a committee week. Wednesday the 12th, SAPS, also program 3 and 4 and 5. The Civilian Secretariat will be back with us on Thursday the 13th, October, and also IPET on the afternoon. So it's a very tight schedule, because we, in terms of the BRRR, we are under huge pressure. CIRA will have to consider on the Friday morning. We've got no choice, but depending on the availability of members. And then our aim is to adopt that next week, the Thursday or the Friday. The Friday, Mr. Mark, I'm looking at you. So we'll see. But I mean, it will depend also on the input from the members and how fast we can move with the finalization of the reports that must be finalized. And then, colleagues, what we will do the rest of October and November is to really focus on the AG reports, on implementation plans of departments, what are they doing to address the AG's concerns, and one or two other issues, and then we will conclude our program from the 26th of November to the 2nd with an oversight visit to KZN. So that is the broad strokes of the program, but as I said, as soon as we've got confirmation from the House Chair, we'll distribute to honourable members. I just want to know, in terms of the annual reports, I think if we get it, and we can maybe the Secretariat, give it to members. I don't know whether they're going to, if we can send it to them that they can have a look at it, because we're coming back that Tuesday immediately, starting with the bulk of the work. So October is going to be very, very busy. So I wish members well over the constituency period, and hopefully there's also some rest along the way. So thank you very much, members, for your cooperation this term and the hard work of the content advisors, the secretariat, as well as our research staff. So thank you very much. The meeting is closed.